Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast of Connecting Faith. Programs like this are made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. You can find out more or make a gift by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab on the homepage. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the show. I'm Neil Stavem, and this is Connecting Faith. And our theme here at Faith Radio on a daily basis is to help connect faith to life. We do it through relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching and those wonderful interactive opportunities that come along throughout the day. And Connecting Faith is one of those. And I'm looking forward to our discussion today for a long time. If you just tuned in, you picked a great day to connect with us. And during the next hour, we're looking forward to just hearing more about what God's doing around the world. I always get excited when I hear stories of God at work, and there's maybe no one better to just relay some of those stories and recount what God is doing all across the globe than our guest today. He's president and chairman of the board of Campus Crusade for Christ. Steve Douglas is on the line with us. He's had a passion for ministry and served for, it was 32 years or so, maybe more. Is that right? You've been with Campus Crusade, Steve?
Yeah, 43 years now.
43. You hear Steve on the Lighthouse Report. Just love hearing those little daily updates and appreciate all that happens at Campus Crusade. We're going to find out a little bit more about the ministry. Steve Douglas came to Campus Crusade with a resume that included a Bachelor's of Science degree from MIT and an MBA from Harvard Business School. He's held a variety of positions at Campus Crusade and now serving as the president, chairman of the board, and we are happy to welcome him to the broadcast today. Rain an issue at headquarters in Florida today? Or
not today, okay. But if you'd have asked me that question 2 days ago, the answer would have been yes. We've had Debbie, as you know, as a tropical storm's come right across northern Florida, and we get the backwash from that.
Yeah. But things starting to move out a little bit, right? It's a little bit better at the moment.
Amazing the difference a day makes. It was bright and sunny when I drove home last night.
And we always appreciate that any time of year. So, well, let's talk a little bit about the worldwide impact of Campus Crusade for Christ, founded back in 1951 by Bill and Vonette Bright, and it has had a significant impact. Just give us a little sense of the scope of Campus Crusade for Christ.
Well, I feel like you've given me the assignment of letting your listeners take a drink out of a fire hydrant, you know. It's just a lot to share, but let me take a crack at it, okay?
Yeah.
In 1951, Bill Bright was given a vision, a very specific vision from God that showed the whole world being reached. I don't think he ever took it as the implication we would reach the whole world, but that would happen, and somehow what he would do would be a part of that. And so one thing you'll see consistently through the years in our ministry is an emphasis on what we would call scope, truly fulfilling the Great Commission. An example of that would be for in the campus ministry, we talk about the missional gap. How many campuses have we yet to reach? It's not so much how many are we on, but how many have no work of God, either ours or somebody else's, some churches, InterVarsity, other organizations. And so we're always thinking about it all getting done, putting that before people. Another thing that we think about a lot is multiplication. From the early days, Bill Bright said that vision was one of slow, kind of inexorable spread of the gospel. It wasn't just splash all at once. And what that converted into in his mind is we've got to get there by multiplying. For example, at a church level, a church multiplying and spreading to multiple churches around them or maybe even far beyond that. But the idea of multiplication, in Thailand some years ago, they made a video where it showed at first closely cropped in one person's face, and he introduced himself, and he said then, he introduced a person standing next to him, so-and-so, to Christ. And so the camera panned back and showed the two people. And then that person said, and I introduced this other person to Christ. And now the camera panned back and showed three people in the video. Eventually, there were 12 people in the video. Each one generation after another had been reached by the previous person. That's what we believe in, is winning and building, and then sending those people so that they can win and build and send others. And a third thing that you'll see in the history of our ministry is the concept of mobilization. We've had some big conferences in our history. For example, Expo 72 had 85,000, mostly students, being trained in how to share their faith. It was in Dallas, Texas, in the year 1972. But that was eclipsed, actually, by 2 years later, Expo 74, which had 323,000 people trained and equipped to go back to their villages and to the places that they might live in the city and reach people for Christ. And I think that made some contribution to the quadrupling of the body of Christ in Korea over a period of years that followed that. We believe in the whole job getting done, that it's best done by multiplication because that can reach all the nooks and crannies of society, and that in order for it to happen at a full scale, a whole lot of people need to be mobilized. And I'll just give you one last fact. Our family life ministry, based here in the United States but with outreach around the world, is believing God to mobilize 1.25 million people as volunteers to help spread the word about how Christ can dramatically change family.
Substantial impact going on at a variety of levels. And, you know, we hear Campus Crusade for Christ and think, well, that's campus ministry. We're talking a little bit about campus ministry yesterday and want to talk more about that. But there's it's the full scope, as you talk about. Steve, you mentioned the missional gap. Let's talk about where are some of the gaps, maybe in terms of the Great Commission being fulfilled, whether it's gaps on campuses or gaps in unreached people groups.
Well, it's amazing that there are gaps when you consider some figures, but there are. For example, the Jesus film has caused 6.5 billion exposures to the gospel. And you think, wow, that's something like the population of Earth. Well, yeah, but there's multiples sometimes exposures to the same person. And we think that there are many places on Earth, unreached people groups would be one way of thinking of it, where people haven't even begun to hear. In fact, in some of those places, they're not even engaged. No one's even trying. About 6 years ago, we counted up how many there were in a partnership called Table 71. We're just part of the partnership. And there were 639 of those unengaged, unreached people groups with populations of over 100,000. So these are significant groups of people. In fact, it's the bulk of the population of that type of group. Do you know today what tremendous progress there's been? Now there are only 73 of those 300, those 639, only 73 left. In other words, 89% have been engaged. They haven't been reached, but they've been engaged. That's one way to look at the gap. There are places that haven't heard at all. But then there are other ways to look at the gap. You can go on any college campus in America, and there are many, many students who have not really heard a very good presentation of the gospel. Or you could go into the lay community, or you could go particularly into some ethnic pockets of America where the gospel wouldn't have naturally spread. There are many people even in this land that have not heard. If you go to Europe, there are even bigger gaps of people who have not heard. You go to the Czech Republic for an illustration, and people may have heard something about the gospel, but they have tended to reject it to date. You go to North Korea, and most of them haven't heard much at all about the gospel. So there are places in the world that are not covered over with the gospel, and even when the places exist that have some presence of the gospel, like America, there are people who, for whatever reason, have become resistant to that.
And later on, we'll kind of come back and talk about the next step beyond evangelism, because there may be a number of people that have a general knowledge, but not enough to really be making a difference in terms of walking with Christ day by day. But let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned Jesus film. That's been one of the highlights of one of the outreach strategies of Campus Crusade. Some years ago, Global Media Outreach kind of partnered with you, and there have been a number of other things. But what's the most effective, do you think, in terms of sharing the gospel, and how has that changed over the past, since Bill and Vonette got things going on campus back in 1951?
Oh, you could get me in a lot of trouble, Neil, if I start picking favorites, okay?
Okay. I mean, they're all your kids, right? So you love them all, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I can talk about a few that have certainly proven to be effective, but it's not a comprehensive list. Since you talked about the Jesus film, certainly that has been very effective. And the number that I mentioned is the one that probably stuns people quickly, 6.5 billion exposures to the gospel. I mean, that sounds pretty big. But I'll tell you, what gets more impressive is 230 million people indicated decisions after a two-hour presentation on the life of Jesus Christ. I mean, you're talking about a quality exposure of evangelism. But what's even more impressive is 1 million churches have been planted as a result of the showing of the Jesus film. Now, just another measure of scope, I guess, to give you a sense that it's been working well. It's been translated in now over 1,160 languages. Now, one of the most translated other films in history has been The Lion King. Isn't that interesting? At about 130. As you can see, it's not even in the ballpark. This film has been shown in every country on Earth. So you begin to realize that is probably the most widespread tool of evangelism ever in the history of time. That's what Ralph Winter, former director of the U.S. Center for World Missions, said. So that's certainly a pretty stunning strategy. But I go back to some of the real basic things that we've done through the years that I'm most appreciative of. For example, on a college campus, not only reaching a student, but building into that student's life. You just referenced that before, Neil. And then seeing that person begin to grow, and eventually, whether he joins our staff or he goes out into business in the professional world, he becomes an influence for Jesus Christ. And here's kind of the stunning thing. It still amazes me whenever I hear these examples. In some countries particularly, it seems like a whole lot of people have gone into leadership positions, either in the church or out in business and so on, through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ. Take Korea as just one illustration. They have a group called Nazareth Brethren. These are people that have ever been touched, if you will, by Campus Crusade for Christ while they were in college. That group is nearly 400,000 people now. That's a whole lot of people that are influenced. And if you went to Korea like I did 6 years ago and to a conference of one denomination, and I was particularly talking to the missions pastors of that denomination, 100% of them had been influenced by our ministry during the time they're in college. And so one of the hidden things that you don't realize is it's really important for a college minister to be present, whether it's us or other college ministries, because that's the future of the body of Christ, both leaders as pastors, but also leaders as business people.
When you think about that, the future of ministry, and think about the challenges on the college campus, that's something where there's worth putting some time and effort into. We're going to continue our discussion with Steve Douglas in just a moment, who is the president and chairman of the board of Campus Crusade for Christ. I want to find out his story and find out where his passion for sharing the gospel and just walking with the Lord came. We'll do that in just a minute. By the way, you're welcome to join the conversation. If you have a question, or we'd love to hear your story if you've been influenced. Maybe Crusade was an important part of your faith journey. Be an opportunity for you to just call and say thanks to Steve. And on behalf of those that have been multiplying one by one by one. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number. It's 877-933-2484. Or you can always go to Facebook at Connecting Faith, Neil Stavem. Check that out, and you can contact us that way as well. We'll continue in a minute with Steve Douglas from Campus Crusade for Christ. It's 18 past the hour. You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. I'm talking today with Steve Douglas. Steve is president, chairman of the board of Campus Crusade for Christ, a ministry that established back in 1951. Bill and Vonette Bright. It is a worldwide outreach now. And in fact, I don't know if we talked about it in terms of statistics, numbers. Steve, how many people, I guess, are you in every corner of the world? Or give us maybe we talk about scope, but how big is Campus Crusade?
Well, there are corners of the world where we are not. Okay. They're pretty difficult to get to. But we're in over 190 countries, and we have 25,000 missionaries around the world.
I'm interested how you came to be the head of Campus Crusade. You have a degree from MIT and Harvard Business School. It doesn't sound like you were pastoring a small church and worked your way into this. Tell us your faith journey.
It is an unusual story, isn't it? I get asked that question. How is it an engineer and a graduate degree in business type of person would become involved even in a missionary organization, let alone president? Well, if you don't mind me going back to the beginning, when I went to college, I decided that my happiness in life would be as a result of my own effort. I thought success would satisfy. And I set certain goals that I wanted to achieve. For example, I wanted to get good grades or be involved in leadership opportunities or be involved in sports, all of which I had the privilege of doing some of when I was in high school. Well, God let me succeed enough to realize that that was not the secret to satisfaction. I was getting an award in my senior year. My name was called. There were 1,000 people in the audience. My mom was there. And as I walked up those cement steps to receive this big silver platter from an officer of the university, it was almost as if those steps had turned to wood, and I heard this distinct echo saying, "So what? Big deal. So what?" And I thought, good grief. If even in the moment of success, it's no big deal. It's going to be a long life, Neil, a real long life. And I began wondering, what is the secret to satisfaction? And that summer, I was back in my hometown, which is Rockford, Illinois. And I was dating a young woman named Kathy that summer, with whom I wanted to be as often as possible. Now, you need to know I'm married to Judy, so you know the end of the story with Kathy. But that summer, if I wanted to be with Kathy on Tuesday evenings, I had to go to this religious meeting sponsored by this organization called Campus Crusade for Christ. Well, so here was the deal. Religious meeting, ugh. Be with Kathy, woo, that sounded better. So the woo went out, and I went there, and I got a lot more than I bargained for. I didn't just see Kathy, but I saw lots of people from whom the joy of Jesus was just beaming from their faces. And long story short, one night that summer, I sat up in bed and said, God, that's what I want. And slowly but surely, my life began to change. I'll just give you one illustration. In graduate school, my very first exam in business administration was on quantitative decision-making. Now, my liberal arts majors just about passed out when they found out what the test was about. But I was an engineer. I used to tutor calculus. So I went into that exam confident that I would do well. Took my very first case study exam and came out of that exam confident that I had not done well. And I dragged back to my room and I was thinking, man, this is horrible. Blew my first exam in grad school. Grades are important to me. And then I remembered this verse in the Bible. I'd been reading the Bible. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. I said, well, I don't know much, but I'm not experiencing peace. So I prayed a simple prayer. I said, God, I'm not asking for any favors on the exam. I'm just asking for peace. And you know what, Neil? God answered both prayers. And you might say, well, what do you mean both prayers? Prayer one, no favors in the exam. God answered that prayer. He didn't give me any favors in the exam. But then he answered my intentional prayer in a moment because my heart was flooded with peace. And you ask why I've joined the staff of Campus Crusade for Christ and why I've stuck with it for 43 years. It's because Jesus has changed my life. That's just one illustration. And I've seen him change the lives of other people. And I began to realize what I really wanted to do with my life is see that happen more. There's a world out there of people who need Jesus Christ, not just for eternity, but for time as well. And there's a lot that I could talk about in terms of my career with Campus Crusade and different things that I may have done. But in the final analysis, I certainly did not join the ministry to be the president of the ministry. I just joined because I wanted to contribute.
Well, you've done that and much more. And Steve, it's always good to just hear what God's doing through Campus Crusade. And I'm wondering if you have some more of those woo stories. I know that that's part of your privilege and responsibility is to tell the story of God at work around the world. And I thought, you know, I'd be interested in hearing some more, maybe particularly as it relates to campus ministry. I'm wondering if, you know, are the issues that you are facing heading into campus sort of the same, maybe the fundamental issues, the so what questions, are they still there today? Or is there a different approach that is more effective in presenting who Jesus is?
Well, I think there are a lot of very effective approaches, but many of them are different than the very same type of approaches that people might have used, say, 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. People are more asking the why question to answer your question directly and a little less the how question. You've got to make contact life to life. But let me give you an illustration of sometimes how methods can make a difference. I was reading this a few years back and just got a kick out of it. It occurred at the University of Arizona, and they had come up with an idea of a sort of a campaign on campus to facilitate the students there who were associated with us in sharing their faith, to kind of radicalize or mobilize them. And in this particular campaign, they came up with the idea of I agree with, and they picked a person named Dave, who was a very exemplary model of the Christian life, and they picked him as a centerpiece of this, and so at first, for a week, without letting anybody know except those in our movement who was Dave, they would have people write on chalkboards and whiteboards and sidewalks, do you agree with Dave? Of course, nobody knew who Dave was. So the big buzz on campus is, who's Dave? What does he think? I don't know. Well, then on one particular day, it was arranged that everyone associated with us would wear a neon-colored T-shirt that said, "I agree with Dave," except for one person. He wore a T-shirt that said, "I am Dave." So you can imagine he got a lot of attention that day. Well, one young woman was trying to decide whether to put the T-shirt on, you know, in the early dawn. And why was she wondering? Because if she wore that T-shirt, she would be identified with Jesus Christ before all her friends, professors, and everyone else. And she wasn't sure if she was ready. But she put it on and put on a jacket and zipped it up. Now, I did tell you this is Arizona, so I don't think it had to do with warmth. I think it had to do with keeping it secret. She went to class. Her professor saw all these T-shirts on the way to class. He said, "At last, I'm going to find out what this guy Dave thinks." And so he got to class. He looked around. No one had the T-shirt in his class, except there was this one young woman at the back that had a little wedge of neon right by her neck there. She hadn't zipped the jacket all the way up. And he said, "Hey, you one of those Dave people?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm one of those Dave people. Stand up. I'll give you 30 minutes to tell us what Dave thinks." And at the end of class, three people prayed to receive Christ. And you got to know that woman's life was changed forever. And if you'll let me, I'll tell you one more story.
Sure.
At that same campus, and that same day, there was a closet Christian professor who was watching all this. You got to know those students were taking some grief for standing up for Jesus. And he was getting more and more convicted. It just so happens he was a biology professor. And he was teaching that afternoon, wouldn't you know, evolution. And finally, at the end of class, he came to a peak of conviction. And he slammed shut his notes, and he said, "I don't agree with anything I've been telling you. I agree with Dave." And then he walked out of the room. So it can make a difference to do things in a way that's a little more winsome or connecting or something that brings things to the fore. Now, I could tell you lots more stories. You want more woo stories, you just say the word. But that's one, okay?
Well, it does, as you were sharing, it reminded me that, you know, one thing is it must just excite you to hear the stories. I mean, as your team gets together and say, well, you know, what sort of creative idea is coming up next? But that there is something about being creative, that we don't have to be just sort of stuck in a rut and a routine and think that this has to be cookie cutter, it can only be A plus B. Process.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I find creativity is one of the keys, especially if people have heard a lot about the gospel, to come at it from a slightly different approach, I think is winsome to people. Now, I'm just trying to get on your side of the equation here. If you need to stop for a break, that's fine. Otherwise, I'll tell another
story. Yeah, we have three minutes.
Okay. Here we go. I'm going to tell you a story of another side of the coin, so to speak. We've been talking about being creative and maybe even clever in how we approach it, but there's this being called God who's in this equation, and he has his way of overriding everything if he wants to. I was at Kansas State University presenting a talk to 600 campus leaders on personal development, and I wasn't allowed, actually, to share the gospel in terms of the four spiritual laws, but I could share my testimony. After sharing for an hour, the coach came up of the football team and said, "Whoa, I really wish the football team could have been here to hear what you had to say." And I talked to our staff afterwards, and I said, "I think I just got an invitation to talk to the football team. It's Friday night. I know they got a big game the next day against Iowa State, number 11th ranked team in the nation. And, oh, by the way, Kansas State had an 0-6 record at that point. I can see why he was desperate. He'd bring anybody in to try to pick things up." Well, long story short, we got there with the coach, and he said yes. And I said, "What part do you want me to share? I mean, you don't want me to take an hour." He said, "That part where you talked about how God gave you peace." In other words, my testimony. I said, "Oh, this is great." So I got up and I started sharing with these guys, and they were all in uniform, you know, and ready to go out for practice, that last practice. And I thought this was a real opportunity until I watched their response. I thought they weren't that interested. You know how it is when you're speaking to a group and you think, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble," trying to figure out how to bring this in for a landing. Turns out I was wrong. 12 of them indicated decisions a little later. But God began to speak to me. As I was speaking to them, God was saying to me to say a certain thing, and I said, "No, Lord, I can't say that." And, you know, I find you got to capitulate to God. When he says to do something, just do it. So here was what I did. I said exactly what he told me to say. I said, "Men, I don't know how many of you believe in prayer, but I do. And tomorrow, when you play Iowa State, the number 11th ranked team in the nation, I'm going to pray that you win." You should have seen our staff at the back of the room. They just passed out. Even God couldn't do that miracle, you know. Well, I left town the next day for obvious reasons, and as I was flying on the airplane, I was writing, this back in the day of snail mail, and I was writing a note to the coach. I figured I'm in this up to my neck, and so I wrote him a note and said, "I just want you to know I'm praying for you. You're playing the game right now. I pray you'll win." Well, I went back to my hometown, which is where it was my next stop, and turned on the sports that evening with great interest.
Sure.
Biggest upset of the day, Kansas State beats Iowa State. But that's not the end of the story.
We're gonna do that that wonderful radio thing where we're gonna keep people hanging on through the break.
Okay. And the end of the story is better than what they've heard so far.
All right. Stay tuned for the end of the story, and there's much more with Steve Douglas, president of Campus Crusade for Christ. You're listening to Connecting Faith. It's Connecting Faith, 32 past the hour, and we're connecting today with the president, chairman of the board of Campus Crusade for Christ. It's an international ministry that's had great impact in the lives of millions, literally, around the world. Steve Douglas is my guest today. He graduated from MIT and Harvard Business School, been with Campus Crusade for 43 years, and has served as the president, chairman of the board for a number of years. Written several books, including Managing Yourself, How to Achieve Your Potential, Enjoy Life, and Enjoy Walk with God. And we were in the midst of a story, had something to do with Kansas and Iowa State. And, Steve, I want to give you an opportunity to finish up that great reminder.
Well, just for those of you that might be Iowa State fans, I was just doing what God told me to do.
Okay.
To pray that Kansas State would win. Anyway, 2 days after I found out the stunning news that Kansas State had indeed beaten Iowa State, I got a call from the campus director. He said, "You'll never believe it." I said, "I know, they won. Isn't it incredible?" He said, "Oh, it's much bigger than that." I said, "What could be bigger than that?" And he said, "Let me read to you the headlines from the Manhattan Daily newspaper." I said, "Okay." "Douglas, my name, ? Who? Key to Kansas State win." He said, "The coach got interviewed. What did you do differently?" And he said, "Well, I think it had to do with the speaker that we had before." And so the buzz on campus for the next 2 to 3 weeks was, what did he say? I mean, what a great setup to share the gospel.
Wow.
So I just want you to know, God plays a huge role in drawing people to himself. He creates dramatic and very creative circumstances. Who would have imagined the one I just described? So we can be creative, and we can be clever, and we should be. We should look at what works and what doesn't, and we do that in our ministry. That's a big deal to us, being fruitful. But on the other hand, there's no substitute for just saying, "God, what do you want us to do? That's what we're going to do."
You know, I love hearing the stories on a regular basis on the Lighthouse Report, and they're just so wide and varied. And I guess that leads to my next question about, you know, evangelism is a lot. We talk a lot about it, maybe even go to seminars, but it seems like it's seldom done. What are some of your thoughts? What are we missing?
Well, I think there's several reasons that the average Christian, let's say, doesn't evangelize, and the average Christian does not. One is fear. Am I going to lose my friendship with this person if I share my faith in Jesus Christ? Or are they going to make a fool out of me when I say something and say, "What? How can anybody with any brain, you know, think about that?" That's the fear that people have. Or a fear that I'll get asked a question I don't know the answer to, like, "What about the heathen in Africa?" or something like that. Incidentally, I have never been asked that question at 43 years of witnessing. So there's some fears that are just totally unfounded. Another reason that people don't share their faith is they don't know how. They lack the training, whether it be how to use a Four Spiritual Law booklet or hand them a Jesus video, a DVD, or probably today one of the best methods is life-on-life contact, listening well enough to pick up where there's some commonalities with my life and yours, and now that can be an avenue through which God can share, can let me share with people. But I would say those reasons don't need to carry sway in people's lives. You can learn to overcome fear partly by just kind of watching people share their faith, sometimes maybe ministering online, which is a lot safer. You know, it's more anonymous for even the online missionary. There are ways that you can work into the subject of faith more softly, and it lets you adjust a little bit if you sense you're getting kind of a ripple. But I would just encourage people to believe there are people out there who desperately want to know about Jesus. The few examples you'll ever have where people get upset will be outweighed by an example like I'm going to share. I boarded a plane in Orlando. It's flying straight to London, Virgin Atlantic. They boarded an hour early. And so there I am sitting in my aisle seat, and I put on my headset to my cell phone, and I'm got my stuff spread out in front of me on the tray, and I'm talking to our lawyer. You know, so this is a serious conversation. Well, wouldn't you know, this woman and her daughter come along and point to the seats inside of my aisle seat. So I gathered up my stuff, and I buckled the tray, and, you know, I step out in the aisle. I'm still talking to the attorney very forcefully. In fact, when the woman goes by me, her face is facing my face, and I just made some really important point, and I could almost see her hair blow back, you know. So anyway, she said, She sits down. And when I got off the phone, she said, "What do you do?" And I wasn't sure I wanted to tell her, you know, in light of the experience she'd had with me, but I did. And I gave her a copy of my book, Enjoying Your Walk with God. And literally, Neil, this is what happened. When her eyes fell onto the front cover of that book, I think the word God, probably, they widened. And she turned to me, and she said, "God must have put you in the seat next to me. I need to talk to you." Well, you know, a person could mistake that for a witnessing opportunity, right, Neil? And within a half an hour, she's praying to receive Christ. I'm just saying to the people who are listening to us, there are a whole lot of those people out there that no one's ever connected to them, with them about Jesus Christ. And you can do that. What a privilege.
And it doesn't, it's not always random strangers, right? But, I mean, it's sort of that each one, reach one, our circle of influence, those kinds of things that we have to pay attention to as well.
Absolutely. We have a world, if you will, that's our world. Nothing makes it clearer than Facebook. My wife has 2,300 friends on Facebook. She's the queen of the digital world around here. And that means there are that many people that would listen regularly to what she says. Now, the average college student has probably about 300. That's a realm that's a group of, quote, friends. Also, they know people well who are friends. And what it does cause us to understand is important is the kind of life we lead. If we're leading a life that causes people to see a change that we can attribute to God, there's greater interest. I've been asked by people sometimes, what is it that makes your life different? My wife, for example, did something very simple. She was on an airplane. A woman came by, she had trouble getting stuff up in the overhead compartment because the guy in front had his jacket there, and he wouldn't move it. And finally, my wife intervened and helped the lady get her bag stored. Well, as soon as the possibility existed well into the flight, she came up and said, "What's different about you?" Well, I think that's even more true in our spheres of influence. If we're living the life, if we truly follow Jesus Christ, we have a message to share to a fractured, injured, desperate world.
One of the books that Steve has written, Steve and Judy Douglas serve as with Campus Crusade, Steve President, Chairman of the Board of Campus Crusade. One of the books you referenced called Enjoying Your Walk with God. I mean, do you find in maybe your encounters that there are some people that aren't really experiencing a lot of joy in their life?
Anyone. Yeah, I'd say if you take 10 people, probably 8 out of 10, maybe 9 out of 10 are not experiencing joy. Now, a lot of them, wouldn't be Christians, and that's why they're not experiencing joy. But I'll just give you an illustration. I'm sorry if I overburden you with airplane illustrations, but that's a lot of my contact with people I don't previously know. I'm flying back from Incheon, Korea to Atlanta, Georgia. That's a long flight. My assistant and I are having a serious conversation about what it means to be a missional Christian. Finally, all of a sudden, the guy from the seat behind my assistant stood up, stepped out in the aisle, stepped between us and said, "I'm a Christian, but I'm not totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. Can you help me?" I thought to myself, good night. You can't even have a private conversation about Jesus on an airplane, you know, before people are attracted to the possibility of a joyful walk with God.
Steve Douglas, my guest. We're talking about what God's doing through, what God's doing. I think we'll just stop there and through ministries like Campus Crusade. And Steve, talk a little bit about the importance of maybe, I guess, the parachurch ministry and the local church. How's that relationship changed over the years? And does that collaboration and partnership look different now than it has?
I think it's better than it's ever been, certainly in my lifetime. I can remember the day when it wasn't a natural thing for many local churches to cooperate with parachurch organizations. Plenty of exceptions to that. But now I'd say it's just the other way around. There's tremendous willingness to work together and to get the total job done. And I'll just give you an illustration out of a partnership called Table 71. It's a group of organizations trying to reach those unengaged, unreached people groups. And this is between the Southern Baptist Convention and Youth with a Mission. So one is a church, and the other is a parachurch. And this is after we'd met for a number of years, and a lot of trust had been built up. But the fellow who's the number two person in the International Mission Board, Avery Willis was his name, he's dead now, he was looking across the way to one of the top leaders of Youth with a Mission, Mark Anderson. And he had in front of him some of the church planting materials of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is some of the finest in the entire world. I mean, this is really good stuff. And he pushed that material across to Mark in YWAM, and he said, "Mark, notwithstanding the differences in our organizations, everything that we have in the Southern Baptist Convention in church planting is yours free." Now, I got to be honest with you, Neil. I gripped my heart. I looked up at heaven. I thought, the end is near. You see, God is moving in remarkable ways to cause people to share. In that partnership, whatever any of us have is freely available to the other organizations. And you know, it's getting the job done. I'll give you an illustration out of that. In that particular partnership, three organizations got together. It happened to be Youth with a Mission, Wycliffe Bible Translators, and Campus Crusade. You may know that Luke is the script for the Jesus film, actually a part of the Gospel of Luke. And we went to an island there in the South Pacific where there was no Gospel of Luke, nothing. Can't do a Jesus film. Well, the Wycliffe people came. Jesus people came, and YWAM provided the venue. And in 21 days, they translated enough of the Gospel of Luke, narrated it into the Jesus film, and showed the film for the first time. 21 days. That shows you a metric, if you will, of the power of partnership.
And I'm wondering, Steve, there's someone listening right now who is, hopefully picked up a little of the infection of Steve Douglas and the passion of Campus Crusade. But what would you say to maybe a businessman who is maybe experienced a few so what's lately, or a mom or whoever it might be? I've had opportunity to be in some of those settings where you've challenged those that have significant means to make something of their life. But I guess regardless of what our financial status is, what's your challenge?
My challenge is to recognize this fact. Today, it's harvest time. 60 years ago, the communists took over in China. Do you know what's happened under their regime with persecution of the church and the whole works? The church has grown 100 times. In India, it could be that 10% of that nation have asked Jesus into their hearts. This is not an evangelical hotbed here. This is India we're talking about. In the Middle East, people are seeing dreams of Jesus. More churches are being planted today than have ever been planted before per year. And I could give you many, many more illustrations, but I'm from the Midwest. I'm from the very part of the country where your radio stations are. And I'm just here to tell you, they grew corn down in Rockford, Illinois. And I know there was a certain week, and I think it was September, where a lot of my friends in high school wouldn't show up for a whole week because they were out harvesting their father's or their grandfather's farm. And you know what? They came back. They didn't get in any trouble. If I'd have missed that week, I'd have been in trouble. But they didn't get in any trouble for one reason. Because everybody, a principal, a teacher, everybody knew that when the harvest is ripe, you go to the fields. Well, I would just apply that same line of reasoning. The harvest is ripe. People are coming to Christ by the millions today. And if I had money to invest, if I had time that was available, if I have prayer that I could focus, I would employ all of those to say, Lord, I want to be involved.
Wow. If that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet, something like that. We're going to continue with Steve Douglas in just a minute. So I want to talk, he referenced college campus ministries, that it really is our future in terms of the church. And I want to talk about that future. We spent a little time yesterday talking about campus ministry and some of the challenges there. Also want to give an opportunity to talk about prayer concerns. And would love to have you join the conversation if you like. 877-93-FAITH. 877-933-2484. Stay tuned. More with Steve Douglas, president of Campus Crusade, in just a minute. Well, 46, this is Connecting Faith. Connecting today with Steve Douglas, president, chairman of the board of Campus Crusade for Christ. We're getting an update on what God's doing around the world. And Campus Crusade is working in 190 countries, some 25,000 missionaries, started back in 1951 by Bill and Vonette Bright. And they've been focused on the campus, expanded, of course, in a number of different areas. But campus ministry is still the passion and the heart. In fact, a little bit of a name change to Crew. Maybe just talk a little bit about campus ministries. You mentioned something that it really represents our future. I think we skeptically say, well, that maybe doesn't sound so good. Biblical illiteracy, secularization, all those things. And talk about campus ministry.
Well, I'm going to be the first to tell you, Neil, that the college campuses are simultaneously the biggest opportunity that you could have, which I'll elaborate on in a second, but also one of the most corrosive environments to faith. How important it is that churches and parachurch organizations have dominant presence. on college campuses today. But here's the opportunity. I'll give you an example, Albania. As you know, back before 1990, 1991, Albania was one of the most atheistic countries in the world. They would scrape crosses off of tombstones. It was so atheistic. And then communism fell. And into that vacuum, that spiritual vacuum, came some of the starchiest Christians I know anything about, certainly within our movement, from Miami of Ohio, Ohio State. These are students that just were ready to take the world, charge hell with a squirt gun type of people. And so they trained those students in Albania. Not only did they lead them to Christ, but they trained them. There is no such thing as nominal Christianity. If you are a Christian, you are all in. So they were all in. And after they got through reaching their campuses, they were trying to say, well, where else can we go? And you got all these rural areas of Albania. There aren't even roads out there, some of these places. Some cow laid out the trail, and that's how you get back and forth. So wouldn't you know, a missionary agency that had helicopters came to help? And within a period of years, those college students, with their zeal and their willingness to take risks for Jesus Christ, went to every single village in all of Albania, sharing the gospel using the Jesus phone. That's just one story. Another story, Ethiopia, a little more recent even. There was a conference in Ethiopia where thousands of students were trained and challenged to go to the toughest places in Ethiopia. These are places you could get killed for sharing the gospel. And these students knew no fear, and they prayed and they went. And in one particular case, they did, in fact, get thrown in jail. And after the jailer watched them for a while, he realized they were sharing Christ with everybody in their cell. Now, mind you, that's doubly dangerous. So he got the brilliant idea to move them to another cell so they wouldn't share so much with those people. I don't think this guy was playing with a full deck, because if you stop and think about it, that's a new audience now. So now they share with more. In 29 days, they were in 25 cells and shared with 1,100 people, shared the gospel with 1,100 people. All of that at risk of life and limb. In another particular town, students from Ethiopia went to a town called Awade, and its main export was drugs, and it's about 100% of another faith besides the Christian faith. And they got abused and thrown in jail also, but they led so many people to Christ, they got thrown out of jail. And they got challenged. They said, if your God is so great, let's see if he can heal this crazy guy in town. They said, okay. So they took him home, prayed for him all night long, and wouldn't you know, he was healed. So they brought him back, and the town was just shocked. What happened? Well, God is great. College students historically have the courage and their whole life ahead of them to be able to serve God. And so it's so important that we reach college students. And then if you could teach them how to multiply, just think what you're unleashing on a whole, not just that campus, but on the world thereafter. One guy came back from one of our conferences in Korea back a few years back. His name was Andres. He came back to Columbia. He started a study because he'd been told, you need to start something going on a campus. So that was his campus. Then he started another study on another campus. But that got to be too much for him, so he turned over the first study to Freddie. And then Freddie, after he watched what Andres did, starting yet on a third campus now, Freddie started on a fourth campus. And then the people in their groups got the picture, and they started a fifth campus, a sixth campus, and so on. College students are the manpower to be able to reach the world. They have zeal, they have availability, and eventually they penetrate into positions of leadership. And I was mentioning that earlier in the program. A high percentage of people who are now influential for Jesus Christ were ministered to in college. In fact, Bill Bright spoke at a seminary. It was Western Seminary, back when Earl Rahmacher was there. And Earl asked this question as he was about to introduce Bill Bright. He said, how many of you have been influenced by this ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ? And Bill was cringing. You know, he thought, oh, no, probably a few, maybe. Two-thirds to three-quarters of the audience raised their hands. Why were they in seminary? Because they'd been influenced by people who are on their campus, catching them at the exact right point.
And again, as we alluded to yesterday, those first few days on campus, so vital, the work of Campus Crusade or University of NAB Press or any number of really important organizations that are there making a difference, and those first few days are critical.
Absolutely. In fact, a lot of times the campus will open up tables for clubs, and if you're a registered club on campus, you get to have a table. And so a lot of these Christian students flood in and say, man, I'm really looking for something Christian, or their parents have asked them to maybe look for something Christian. And if you don't capture them right then, there's a good chance that you lose them. And in fact, Kinnaman, I think it was, that wrote the book, You Lost Me, speaking of young people as they get out of the home and they begin to not believe in God.
Yeah. Steve, talk about maybe your biggest prayer concern. What are the things that are I think we've caught just some of the excitement, but what are some of the big concerns today for you?
Well, I will reiterate something I said earlier. My biggest concern is that we don't redeem the opportunity of today. It is harvest time. We need to go to the fields. But if you want to talk about problems, here are the problems to pray about. There are three big oppositional forces today, if you're looking at the whole world, for the spread of the gospel. One is Islam. I mean, let's just put it right out on the table. They're not in favor of the gospel on the average. Now, there are movements within Islam at times, but I look at Nigeria. They're burning churches right around Jos, you know, right about the center of the city. Well, in Mali, look at Mali. Or look at what might happen in Egypt. I don't know, but it doesn't look good. So that's one significant force. A second significant force in opposition to the Christian faith is actually materialism. You look at why there was a deterioration in our land to some degree concerning Christian faith from, say, the 50s and maybe early 60s to today. It has a lot to do with the fact we've been materially successful. And actually, if there's any good news in the economy tanking here in recent years, is it causes people to come back a little more to looking to God. And a third thing that really damages faith is what I would call secularism, where there are enough people in society that just basically don't believe in God, and they get into positions of influence, and they can make life hard on you as a Christian. I mean, it might be even in a smaller thing than a whole nation. For example, at Vanderbilt University, they're the old 13 or 14 most evangelical organizations on campus have basically been kicked off campuses, registered clubs on campus, because they are being asked by the administration at Vanderbilt to put into their constitution that you don't have to be a Christian to be the president or some other officer of your club. I mean, you just think of that and you think, whoa, wait a minute. That makes no sense at all. I know, but it's still what they've said. And you begin to realize there are forces at work. I don't know what motivated the school to come to that conclusion, but I do know that you see that time and time again. Less favorable treatment in the city of New York. You can't rent certain public buildings as a church anymore. And that forces Christians to have to do things a harder way. Now, here's the good news. Why should we be surprised? As I read the parable of the wheat and the tares, that seed that's been sown, whether it be Islam or whether it be materialism or whether it be secularism or many other things that I could have mentioned, that seed is going to be allowed to grow alongside the wheat until the end. So we shouldn't be alarmed. That's just all part of the plan. But it sure ought to motivate us to pray and say, God, don't let me be discouraged. Don't let me be overwhelmed. Just keep me involved.
Steve Douglas, my guest. He's the president and the chairman of the board of Campus Crusade for Christ. And we should make sure we give out the website. We've got, Steve, about 2 minutes left, and I'm thinking there may be someone listening right now who's, you know, has been sort of listening around the edges but not really engaged, not really sure what joy and peace and all that means. What would you say if you had an opportunity just to share the gospel in 60 seconds?
Point one. God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. I've talked about it on this program. Point two, but we're sinful, and so we're separated from that plan. Point three, Jesus Christ is God's only provision for our sin. There is no other provision. But we can't just know that. We have to personally receive Jesus Christ. So I invite you right now, if you're in that spot and you said, wow, this sounds like something I want to be involved in, I'd like to know Jesus Christ. Just in the silence of your heart, right where you are, say, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. My life is not everything that it should be, but I want it to be. Come in, be my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of my sins and make my life the way that only you can make it. In your name I pray. Amen.
That's our prayer and belief that lives can be transformed and changed even today as friends listen to the ministry here. Of what Steve Douglas has shared, Steve, chairman of and president of Campus Crusade for Christ, author a number of books. One of the books that we was trying to remember, it was how to get good grades in college. Wasn't that what it was? No, what was it?
How to get better grades and have more fun. Yes.
Yeah. Now, which was that's not a new one, but that's still a life changer, and probably a good recommendation for any of us, I guess, whether we're going to college or not. And managing yourself, how to achieve your potential and enjoy life and enjoy your walk with God. Steve, give us the website and just some of the resources that are available online.
Crew.org, C-R-U.org.
We didn't talk
website, and it'll give you can navigate from there to get the resources and other things.
We didn't talk about crew. You want to just say a word about that? Why the name change?
Well, what we discovered is that our name became a closer of conversations too early. Campus was too narrow for, say, somebody who was ministering among executives. They didn't think it applied to them. And crusade, I don't think I need to elaborate on the liability of that word. And frankly, on our college campus, our works had figured that out. And 55% of them were already using the word crew. The students almost renamed us. And, you know, sometimes you wonder if you're leading or following to finally catch on. What really opens the door for people is to have a name that's intriguing, that is a name that that people don't mind being identified with. And we could document how many more volunteers would volunteer and how many more people would continue a conversation about Jesus Christ if we just changed the name.
Well, Steve, do both leading and following, and we're glad that you're at the helm, and God bless you as you continue to serve the Lord in this great way. Thanks for taking some time today.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be with you, Neil.
Steve Douglas, President, Chairman of the Board of Campus Crusade for Christ. Find out more online. Crew.